I want to start off by probably how I usually start this podcast off. Welcome back to Brown Game Strong. So, I think, long story short, the way that my day has gone, I was due to record with somebody, probably one of my most interesting guests yet, and they've had an emergency. And so, I've got the studio to myself. And you know what? I thought, might as well just practice. Speaking in front of a camera and also talking to you. And I think it's worthwhile because I've never done this before. And I feel like I do have a few things I want to share and say. And one of them is about if you've been there from day one, you'll probably know that BGS is turning four very shortly. I'm not sure when I'm releasing this, but it will be on the 1st of October. 2023 BGS will turn four, which is wild. It is a toddler, completely rampant and doing its thing at the moment. And I kind of wanted to talk to you just about, the early days and how it all started and what BGS really stands for, BGS being Brown Game Strong podcast. And I probably won't make this super long, but I don't know, I just feel like it's probably time to start sharing a little bit about where this came about. And I think in a landscape where a lot of people are discussing the sort of South Asian experience or the experience being they see and growing up outside the motherland. And
I didn't catch that. Could you try again?
okay, that was my Apple Watch. And I think within this space, there's so much room for so many different stories and so many different experiences to be shared. So I guess I'll start with that. Brown Game Strong was an idea that was brewing in my head from 2018. At the time, I think the only podcasts I had listened to were on airplanes. You know, when you go on like British Airways or like Emirates or something, and you have a section called podcasts, and you're like, I wonder what's on there. And it would always be these like really obscure podcasts about like, science and astrology. And I used to always think that podcasts were super niche at the time. People who listened to them were generally quite nerdy. They were quite interested in just learning about like really intense, scientific or technical topics. And at the time, I used to listen to a podcast by a man called Stephen Bartlett, The Diary of a CEO, back in, I can't remember if it was like early 2019 or 2018, but it was the times where he was running Social Chain and he would literally record, lock himself in a cupboard and record just like his experience as a CEO and how he started and what was going on and, his stories with his co-founder and all this stuff. So he was kind of getting big on the scene. And there was also another podcast that I came across. I can't remember if it was on a flight, but it was called The Woke Desi. They're now called That Desi Spark. And they are really, really great. They're based in the US, though. So I think listening to that and being quite a regular listener of The Diary of a CEO, I was kind of like, I feel like there's still not a podcast there that discusses, just being a hairy girl. Like it just sounds really blunt, but like I remember the times where the only other, well, like one of the very few other Indian girls in my class or in my school kind of made me feel bad about being hairy or having a hairy back. And there's just little things like that that I felt like I dealt with those very much in isolation when I was growing up. And I think that is a thing that has been, very widely spoken about, that as, they see women, we have very specific experiences which give us a lot of shame, make us feel really bad about ourselves, make us feel ugly, make us feel, unlikable, unwanted, not good enough. And I think what I realized at the time was that, I felt like I was an average this woman. I felt like a lot of my experiences were probably experiences that a lot of other women my age or, you know, around my age had also had. And this was because I had proof, you know, I had friends, I had spoken to people, I'd made a lot of friends when I moved to London through university that also had like Indian backgrounds or, you know, other backgrounds from other countries within South Asia. And we bonded over the fact that, oh my God, like I had this too, what the hell? And that was the first time I think I realized that, wow, there's a whole world of us, you know, there's so many of us. We're not the only ones. Like, I remember there was a time where I was like, I'm the only girl who's this hairy in the world. Like, how is it possible? Or, you know, I can't believe like this is the food that we eat at home and it's so different and it smells so different. And anyways, I'm not going to get into that too much. I feel like I'm digressing. But my point is that I think I just had an idea really at the time, one that many people have had since as well. And, you know, probably even before that, to start sharing those stories. So that's how it began. And I remember at the time I had a friend that I'd made online. Her name's Asha. And Asha, if you're listening, you were so integral. Like, honestly, she was super integral to the beginning of this podcast. It would not have started had it not been the two of us. And she just, like, we just fangirled over each other basically on Instagram. And it was like my first Insta friend back in 2019. And I just found it so like cool and fun and weird. And I was like, wow, should I even be telling people I have a friend on Instagram? And then we met up in Dishoom. And I think we spoke about this in one of our early episodes. But we were just having a chat. And then, you know, I just kind of blurted out that, you know, I have this idea for a podcast and we both have thick eyebrows and we were both hairy and we both had these, I don't know why I keep going back to body hair. Like, I think it's a bit TMI, but yeah. And I was like, you know what? I really want to start a podcast. Like, would you be up for it? And she was honestly such a sport. I remember she was like, yeah, like that sounds awesome. And I remember that then led to doing a photo shoot with like a photographer that she'd worked with before. And we ended up just doing a few initial episodes in, you know, like a, kind of like a public space. We just had literally one microphone that was sitting in between us. There was one time we recorded an episode on my floor in my studio flat. And there was so much reverb, echo everywhere. And it was just the worst quality thing you've ever heard. But I remember at the time there was so much hype and traction around this podcast because I think a lot of people were still kind of craving those conversations. They were still waiting to, you know, find like platforms that were discussing it, but in a way that was quite relatable. So I think that's one thing that Brown Game Strong has always stood for. And I think it still stands for. We apply a gentle approach to storytelling around our South Asian experiences. And this is something that I think really differentiated BGS for me. You know, that's, I think, changed a lot over the years. Like COVID happened, a lot of platforms have emerged since then. But at the time, it was very much, you know, the few that did exist were very bold. And there was such a space for them, you know, like those were the ones that I started listening to as well, you know, talking about sex and dispelling taboos and, you know, all the things that we absolutely need. And we started by thinking that this thing would be called Brown and Badass because we're like, we're so badass. And I'm like, no, we're really not. It was things like that where I feel like it was such a niche that we realized we fit into that, you know, trying to do anything different to just being like a kind of rebellious at times, but and kind of modern, but still like very family oriented, people pleasy type of Indian girl. I've forgotten the flow of my sentence, but that was the niche basically, right? So if we deviated away from it, then it just wouldn't have been genuine and it probably wouldn't have lasted as long as it has. So anyway, so that all happened. We released a few episodes at the time and then COVID hit us quite badly. And that's the time where I think Asha was quite focused on her career and she was a bit like, you know, I'm self-employed. I need to find ways to monetize the time and effort I'm putting into my projects. And that was completely fair because I was very different in that sense. I had a 9-to-5 corporate job. And so I did not need to think about monetizing my free time, because we were spending weekends and evenings doing this kind of work. And so, yes, you know, it was doing well. I feel like both of our groups of friends were really, you know, excited about this project, and they were all like the early listeners, so many of whom have stuck around. And, you know, if you're part of that, then thank you so much for being part of the entire trajectory and sort of seeing it through from the beginning to where it is now. So that happened. And I think I found myself at a crossroads, and Asha and I discussed this, where we were just saying, you know, she very clearly said to me, it's completely up to you. You know, take it wherever you want to take it. And one thing we've been talking about for a long time was interviews. So, you know, bringing on guests and speaking to different people. Because I think one thing we always acknowledged was that, like, who are we to tell the world about anything other than our own personal experiences? Like, that was the whole premise of this thing. We're just average girls, you know, who've had like some experiences that many other people would have had. And it kind of just becomes a place of catharsis, you know, just to share those stories and those experiences. And so when I went solo with Brown Game Strong as, you know, the only host, I was a bit stuck because I was like, this for me is unnatural. I don't know how to, you know, preach to the world, because what do I even have to preach about other than all the things that I really don't know about? Like, I can keep telling you about the things I'm bad at, or like the things that, you know, that I really wish I learned more about. And I can tell you about my experiences as well. And I think, well, at the time I just realized that I wanted to keep it alive because it had garnered an audience. And it was never about like the volume of that audience. It was always about, you know, how many people that was in a room. And one thing I've always stuck by, which is something that I'm having to now try and get out of my head, is if there are 20 people listening to this podcast consistently, that is 20 people in a room. I get anxious presenting in front of 5 people. I can dance in front of thousands of people, but I cannot present for the life of me to a room that's bigger than 5 people. And so when I thought about that, I was like, well, how is online life any different, you know? And so for me, it was always 20. That was my, you know, KPI. That got surpassed very quickly, actually. And ever since then, it's always been exceeding expectations. And now is the time where, you know, we'll talk about it in a second, but now I'm actually thinking, okay, how can I, you know, reframe my goals? And, you know, it's sort of taking a life of its own. And I kind of need to just try and keep up with that. So I reached out to people that I'd met online. So ever since then, I made more friends online, and also, of course, friends in person, creatives in London who are all doing amazing things. This is another thing I realized. I had access to like so many cool people just around me who were, you know, running side hustles and running businesses, or, you know, who were actors or dancers or choreographers or, and you'll notice actually there's a lot of dancers on the podcast, and that's because it's people that are in my world and people that I've met and people that I really admire. And so I started reaching out to them and started interviewing them. And some of them were really dear friends that I'd known for many years. Some were people that I had just reached out to randomly. And I think that's the way it's still happening. It's just sort of really random. And then this year, I think I always had this sort of goal that one day I'd make it in person and I'd start investing like my own sort of funds into this. And that was quite a leap because who knows what was going to happen after that point. And also that's a lot of like you guys seeing my face, whereas the whole reason you start a podcast is so people don't have to see your face, so they can hear your voice. And I was kind of okay with that. So anyway, I had to suck it up because I think the world is changing and, you know, people are waiting and looking for video content, and they want to be able to relate to the people, you know, the faces that are linked to the voices that they're hearing. And so I think there was no way out of that, really. And so the studio session started, and I think there are about 10 episodes now that have been released. And again, I don't think I can stress enough like how much it surprises me every time there is an episode out and people actually really want to listen, and they listen through to the end, and then they message me and they're like, I'm listening to this and I really like this part of it, and I like what you said here and I like what the guest said there. And I think the thing that's been the most fulfilling is bringing on people who may not necessarily have told their stories before, who are like feeling kind of comfortable enough to share their stories for the first time, to really open up to the world, which, I mean, it kind of goes into the abyss. Like, even this, this is kind of just going on YouTube. I don't know who's going to watch it. I don't know what people are going to think, or, you know, how they're going to judge me. But like, I think that kind of defeats the purpose of it, because at the end of the day, it's about hearing a new story, learning about a new individual in the community who is doing really cool things, but also trying to kind of relate to them, because you might be listening to a guest who, I don't know, is a choreographer, and you might never have danced in your life, but like, they will have parts of their story that will really resonate, or like, you know, might strike a chord, or might kind of trigger some sort of thought in, like, in your head about what's going on in your life. And, you know, I just think that's quite exciting. It's quite fun. And I don't even know like how it gets interpreted, but that's the beauty of art, right? You kind of just like leave it to people's devices and just let them, you know, interpret it in their own way and through their own worldview and through their own lens. So I think I'm running out of time. This is wild, because I didn't realize that I'd talk for this long, but yeah, I'm just super, super grateful and happy to have, you know, allowed Brown Game Strong to take a life of its own, because it really does feel like it's its own entity. I feel very detached from it. And this is something you might notice as well, is like, I tend to, on socials at least, not like make it too much about, you know, anything more than just the guest's story, because I feel like it is a privilege to be able to create a place where there are people listening, there are people interested, and there are people looking forward to kind of hearing what the next thing is, who the next person is. And you know, like, people who are attentive enough to take something away from it and maybe put something back into it, because I think a lot of it is community. And even though Brown Game Strong is more of a platform and it's more of a, you know, people talking at you kind of thing, there is a community feel to it, because there are so many people who keep coming back or who'll give advice. And I do think that's really wonderful. And I wonder where that will go, you know, in the future. I really have, you know, aspirations for it. But yeah, long story short, it's been a very interesting 4 years. And this is the very first time where a studio booking hasn't really materialized into an interview. But maybe something good came out of that today, because I was able to kind of talk you through the journey. Yeah, so I'm just super happy you're here again. And I'm, if you found this podcast recently, or, you know, if you've never listened to an episode before, I do urge you to go check them out. They're very interesting. The people on there, I'm super proud that I've been able to bring on these individuals, because they all inspire me in different ways. And I just feel like ultimately that's what it's about, right? Sharing our stories with each other and hoping that something somewhere resonates with somebody. And even if it means that it doesn't really, you know, you don't take anything away from it, but it just entertains you for an hour, or just keeps you a bit of company while you're cooking, or, you know, if you live alone or whatever, then that's also a benefit. That's also a success in my eyes. So yeah, I don't know. That's really it. Now I'm getting really awkward, because I don't know what else to say other than it's just been such a roller coaster. I wouldn't have had it any other way. And really, it's not about me. I mean, I know I've spent like 25 minutes talking at you, but I think it's just a little sort of gesture of gratitude, and just to say thank you so much for sticking around thus far. I do really feel like it's only barely scratched the surface. I really hope that there's going to be many more interesting people coming on, many more interesting conversations that we'll get to have and get to share on here. And I really do hope you stick around. And yeah, that's about it. Thank you.